Okay, we're up to Perek Chav Gimel. We're up to Pasuk Tes. Okay, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes. This Perek is a very famous Perek. It's one of the more popular, more well-known prokem in Sefer Yecheskel, being that it discusses the theme of Ohola versus Oholiva. Ohola refers to Shomrayim, the Aseres Hashatim. We know that Klal Yisrael is divided. We know that Klal Yisrael is divided between two different groups, two different kingdoms. The Malchus of Yisrael versus the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yisrael is the Aseres Hashatim that came into existence when Yerovam ben Nevat broke off from Rechavam after the death of his father Shlomo HaMelech, and that lasted for about 200 years, maybe a little bit more. And until Sancheriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. Then there's the Malchus of Yehuda, which is the two Shvatim. Maybe if we can ask. Okay, we'll get there. Okay, thank you. And then there's the Malchus of Yehuda, which is the two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, which is in Yerushalayim, which is goes down all the way until time of the Chorban. And when Mashiach comes, there's only going to be one Malchus under the Malchus of the whole Klal Yisrael will be under the kingdom of Yehuda of the Mashiach ben David. Now, these two different groups are called in this parak by two very famous words, Ohola versus Oholiva. Ohola is short for Ohel Shelah, its tent, which means that Yerovam ben Nevat, when he broke off and he made his own Malchus, he made for himself a capital, Shomrayim. And he also made two temples. He tried to outdo. One temple was not enough. He had to have two temples. One in Basel and one in Dun. Two temples so people don't have to travel that much. Why do you have to travel all the way to Meron? You can stay where you are and do what you need to do. Okay, two temples. And in each temple he established the Egle Zahav. So this is called the Ohel Shelah, her tent. Well, really, referring here to Shomron, the capital. The capital was in Shomron, and Hashem says, Ohel Shelah, it's not my tent. My Beis HaMikdash is not part of this Malchus, it's Shelah. And then there is Oholiva, Oholiva. Oholiva is a contraction of two words, Oholiva, my tent is within it. And that refers to Yerushalayim. And this psukim we're describing how both Ohola Shomrayim and Oholiva Oholiba, both of them were guilty of infidelity. Were guilty of what the pasuk here we describes as arayos, zinus, tuma. But Chazal tell us this refers to avodah zara. And we are really in the middle of this theme and pasuk test because we left off Friday. Therefore, as a punishment for, we're referring now to Shomrayim, as a punishment for her sins, Hashem says, I'm going to give her over, I'm going to deliver her to the hands of her lovers, in the hands of Ashur, Asher Ogva Alehem, whom she had lusted upon. In other words, you think that the fact that you're going to have a relationship with these nations, it's going to be to your benefit. Just the opposite. They're going to come and eat you up. They're going to come and swallow you up at the time. So the word Ogva we learned last week refers to the word lust. Ogva, like a lover. Love in a negative way. For the purposes of Arayos and the fact that the Radak says that never in Tanakh is the word Ogva used in a positive way. It's always used in reference to having a taiva, a love for something which is forbidden. And therefore the Radak's father, he had an issue with Paitonim, the various Paitonim in his day, which used this word as a poetic way of describing the love that HaKlal Yisrael has for Hashem. And the Radak's father says that it's an abuse of the word, because the word Ogva is never used in Tanakh in a positive form, it's always used in negative form. Therefore, it's not the proper thing to say the word Ogva in reference to loving Hashem. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos Tavah Pasuk Tes. The pasuk says, "Nisatia, kemosarti oisam biyad mehavera. I delivered her in the hands of her lovers. Lotesefes be amar biyad bnei Ashur asher chashkulohem, in the hands of bnei Ashur, which they desire to have a relationship with them. We know that bnei Ashur Sanchef, he exiled the Aseres Hashvatim in three waves. Rashi pasuk test reads, "Lochei nisatia shebo Sancheriv vehegle oisam ultimately, the nation whom the Jewish people, the Aseres HaShvatim, loved and attempted to imitate due to their beauty and their beautiful clothing and all of the things they had to offer, came to kill them, came to exile them. Radak Pasik Tes, L'chein Nisatiha, L'fisha Silka B'tchoyna Mimeni, because the Aseres HaShvatim abandoned their faith in me, Hashem, the Ozva Avoidasi, abandoned my service, Uvotcha b'bnei Ashur, and put their confidence in b'nei Ashur. Therefore, v'lamda toyavosam v'gilu lehem, and learned about their abominations and their disgusting things. Therefore, nasati oisa biyadam, Hashem says, therefore they will be the ones that will exile you. Pasuk yud. Therefore, heima gilu arvasa. So here it describes in detail, they are the ones who exposed her nakedness. Bonechu v'nasechu lakachu, sancheriv will take away your sons and daughters. V'yoisa b'chedev haragu, and her will be killed by sword, and when these three acts of tragedy occur, namely the exposure, the nakedness is being uncovered, and the children are being taken away, and the mother, Osa, is being killed, three different elements of punishment. Shame, the children, which means the future, there's no future left for Klal Yisrael, and the nation itself is decimated. And when this happens, this serves as a mashal for the nashe, for her sister. Fatila l'nashim u'shifutim asuva. It will be a shame, meaning it will be now a warning message for l'nashim, for all other women, meaning all other nations. Gesundheit was really specifically, the nashim over here refers to Yerushalayim, the Yehuda, and Binyamin, the Malchus of Yehuda, not to go in their ways, not to imitate the Aseres HaShvatim, Ushefutim Asuva, and now it is a fourth thing, and Melech Asher is going to do among the Jewish people, Shefutim, judgment. They're going to punish them, Ashur, for their crimes, for their sins. Let's see the Rashi, or Mitzudos Pasik Yud. Heima Gilu Ervasa. Okay, they exposed Ervasa. Lochain, Mitzudos David. Pasik Yud Mitzudos David. Okay. Heima im Hayu Ahuvim, even though there was a very good relationship between Ashur and Yisrael, im kol ze osuba mishpat, nevertheless, Ashur betrayed the Jewish people and executed judgment. The Gilu Ervasa brought upon them shame. The Zehu Hakolon Shoisim Leisha Zaina Shemavshitim Begodech Molich Moisa Aruma Befnei Habrios. In ancient times, a woman that was guilty of adultery or of any form of arayos was exposed. They took off her clothing. Was put to shame by removing her clothing in public, and people came. That was the very, very great disgrace. And likewise, the sota, that's exactly what's done to the sota. When the sota is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, what does the Kohen do? He takes off her head covering and he rips her clothing. He rips her clothing until her chest is exposed. And the Gemara has a discussion, this is not tznius for the Kohanim to see such a thing, a woman that's not dressed. So indeed, the Gemara says they only allowed Zikainim, they only allowed elderly Kohanim who did not have an issue of Hirhurim, who were holy, and this would not be an issue for them, were allowed to participate in this activity. The young Kohanim, it was a sakana. If they would see a woman like this, in this matzah, it can arouse their Yetzirah. And the Gemara actually says, well, it has a very interesting psychological understanding. Like today, you always hear about this on the news, is we don't understand today on Rahman al-Islam, among the Goyim, and unfortunately we know we have problems among us, is there's a very big problem of Shmir Senayim. It's a very big Nisayim. And the effects of what this has upon a person's psyche, good, thank you, is not known, because there never was something like this. This is going on now. How long has the internet been around? For 20 years. So now they're first dealing with children who were unfortunately, exposed to these things and just were not watched and did terrible things. How are they now as adults? How does this affect their mind? This poisoning of the mind, how does it affect their
interaction with society now when they're, these people now on, they're in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. What does that mean? Because something like this never happened. Like, I mean, obviously, things the people that did Averis some time immemorial, going back to the creation of the world, but never on such a level where at person's fingertips throughout the entire world, dealing with the whole world and addiction and all of these type of things, what effect does it have upon people's minds when they become older? It's not really known. And now people, there are studies, there are a lot of studies in their program about this. And we among us, obviously, it's a matter of halacha. It's asr and mutar. We're dealing over here, and it's asr, and you know, kedusha. But among the goyim, they don't have these issues of halacha. They just have an issue of whatever addiction, whatever it is, and it's a very big issue. So over here, it says so. The Chazal says very interesting. What Chazal say that the reason why the kohanim should not see her. The young Kohanim should not see the Sota exposed in the Beis HaMikdash is not because at that moment in time, something is going to happen. He's going to lose control of his mind and he'll have Hirhurim. No, at that moment in time, he's in control. He's in the Beis HaMikdash. He's in the Makom with the Shechinah Shoira. And he's no different at that moment in time as a Zaken, as an old person. I don't know why they say a Zaken. Why a Zaken has any less taiva than a young person? I'm not sure. I'm not a zaken, so I don't know. I don't know what it involves. But Chazal say it's not that the young kohanim don't have any less taiva. The problem is, what happens if the woman survives? She survives. She drinks the meis seita and nothing happens to her. She walks out of the Beis HaMikdash alive and well, and she zoicha to the bracha v'nikisa v'nizra zera. She'll have a child. And then 10 years later, this young Kohen happens to meet her in the street. So when he meets her in the street 10 years later, he remembers her, and he remembers that he saw her undressed. And now, 10 years later, the machshava that he had from her, not that the machshava, he didn't have a machshava at that moment in time. That moment in time, he just saw her. And he was a young Kohen, he was learning shtark, you know, he was very holy. It wasn't an issue. But he saw her in this matzav. And now 10 years later, he sees her again in the street, fully dressed, everything is fine and good. But yet, it percolates. It percolates that machshava, and that machshava now 10 years later, becomes a big nisayon for this Kohen not to engage her in conversation, which may lead to doing avera.
Very profound what you said. In America, they're against having women in Hatzalah.
Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, they're more pro. And the reason they're pro is because who's Hatzalah in the community? Chassidish guys.
Yeah.
So what do you guys say to their neighbors who are pregnant, you know what? If you go into birth, don't tell me. He says, I'm not comfortable going in the elevator after you have a baby. After you have the baby. So what they do is the women have organized their own hatzalah.
Okay, in Yochanami.
There's no shame involved. There should be no shame at all, but...
Listen, to me, I don't understand. You know, yesterday, I called hatzalah yesterday for someone. I was in the place, and the person was an elderly person, and he began to violently cough. I freaked out. I thought he was having a heart attack. So I called hatzalah, and within literally, I'm not exaggerating, 60 seconds, there were already two people there. I don't know how they can come so fast. But within 60 seconds, a guy walks in with a knapsack, with all this equipment, and then all of a sudden, it was a flood of people. And it's very interesting, because yesterday I was talking to someone about exactly what Eretz Yisrael about women, and I said to myself, I don't see women having the physical stamina, not to go, you know, it's a big hustle. You go on that solo call, you know, you got to hustle. You got to drive aggressively. You got to schlep heavy equipment. You got to patience the people who are not well, they heavy. You got to move them. You need a lot of physical strength. It takes a certain type. It takes a certain type. That's true. I'm not being chauvinistic. It's different. It's very different. It's very different. And also, you have a team. You got a team of five people. So one of them is a woman, and the other one's a man. How do they interact with one another? It's very bizarre.
How the other occupation? occupation, medical occupation, occupational therapist, physical therapist, doctors.
That's a different setting. That's not an emergency setting. No, that's not an emergency setting. Adrab, I like the women doctors, Yishma, better than all the men doctors. The women doctors have a certain, bedside manner. It's definitely more pleasant. They have more harmonious. You're right. That's not, I'm talking about emergency medicine. Emergency medicine is a whole different world than you go to a doctor. You go to a doctor.
You see them in emergency rooms.
You do, of course, by the goyim, because the goyim, they're more, there's less of a difference by the goyim between men and women. That's the mitzvahs. By the goyim, today it's all the same. Women go serving combat roles. No, isn't that the new lulu?
If it's for a woman, I wonder if she steps into a hospital room as emergency care doctor, is her mind transfixing to a different role and different responsibility?
It's different by the goyim. It's different by the goyim. By us, by people who are shomer Torah mitzvos, you cannot deny that noshim are different. It's a mitzvah. There's a certain tznius, even in the most extreme modern Orthodox communities, this is part of yadus. There's a difference between men and women. You go to shul, men are on one side, women are on the other side. We're talking about Orthodox Jewry. There's a mitzvah. It creates... In Hatzalah, it's definitely a very challenging thing in my mind, how you can bring together in an emergency environment with every second counts. And physical strength is a very important quality that you need when you're dealing with an emergency situation. These guys, yes, yeah, they drive. You just see what's going on yesterday. How these guys, how they drive, they park, and they run up, and they carry heavy stuff, and they coordinate. I mean, women can do it also. It's different. It's different.
They don't have a mix here.
What? No, they don't allow it. In Brooklyn, they don't allow it. What they do allow is women who are giving birth. The only thing which I understand is women who are in labor. Women who are in labor, so when the situation already is under control, and now it's the question of bringing someone in to finish off, deliver the package. So then obviously, that's already not emergency medicine. I'm talking about emergency, where every second makes a difference. It's a whole different, listen, there's a reason why in NFL football you don't have women. I'm sorry. Why are there no women yet in football? It's a certain type of environment. No? Okay, let's go off the track.
I know my...
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
He's not from at all. His name is
Moore.
Yeah. His PA...
That's not an emergency. I agree.
I
agree with you 100%. I myself prefer when I have to go and I have to go see someone. I usually prefer the women. I'm not as sadical with the tznius and this and that, because they're certain, they're gentle. They're gentle and they have usually a much better bedside manner. And sometimes in Noshim, Hashem, Bina Yisera, especially in the medical field, you need someone to have a certain big picture of everything. They have a Bina Yisera. Men are very, everything is black and white. Women have sometimes been able to see things. You're right. I'm just mentioning something specifically emergency first responders.
Right. So there aren't such things as women EMTs?
There are, by the Goyim. By the Goyim there are, because the Goyim, like I told you, by the from people. Okay,
the kingdom of Adam in Israel has women.
Okay, all right. I'm not. Listen, I'll probably, the joke will be on me, right? Look, the women will come for me.
Yes, there was a violent coffer.
What happened? Baruch Hashem, he was okay. Baruch Hashem, he was okay.
They really don't
he
want
was okay.
Because they don't want the girls to look up and to see them as a positive model. There's a very anti-woman,
attitude.
Chauvinistic attitude towards women.
You see a woman, she saves lives. The kids will look like, all little kids live, are going to be at Solomon.
We live in a modern world today. I don't think that's the issue. I think it's a very practical thing. I think when you see them in action, everything on paper is very good. It's theoretically, everything is all very, very good. Halacha lemaisa, when you get down to doing halacha lemaisa, it's a different world in every field. So you can't judge. All right, let's go further. Rabbi Isaac over here, it's a very, that I read everybody over here, this idea that the women over here, it says over in the Mitzudas that a woman is the Kosmation Times, and it's Chazal. In the Beis Hamikdash, a woman was exposed. And this was a very, very great shame to women. Today, it's very bizarre to us, this, because say the whole world, by the Goyish world, Adraba, the less clothing, the better. Right? It's a crazy world today. But Chazal, this is the greatest form of shame for a woman to be exposed. What?
To Canaan, because they drive for here, or it's less.
What?
When you get older.
Yeah, the taiva diminishes. The taiva diminishes. But you'd be surprised. You hear stories on the news. You hear stories on the news that sometimes get you very surprised. You never know. Look, there's a famous story of very, very famous story of Eliyahu Lapyan. Right, Eliyahu Lapyan, they say that he had Gili Eliyahu. He was the Mashkiach in Knesset Chizkiyahu in Haifa. Kfar Hasidim. So they say a Bachar went and he told him he's going. He was a Mashkiach. So he told the Bachar. The Bachar said, "I'm going away to visit my relative. I'm going over here. How are you going? I'm going on this bus. I'm going how could you go there? It's Moli Pritzos." So he says, "I don't have a problem. I can see these things. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me." So he picks up the phone. He starts calling a doctor. So the Bach, what do you call this? I'm calling for you, doctor. You must be very sick. He says, I'm 90 years old, and I know that when I go on a bus and I see a woman that's not dressed nice, it arouses me. That's what he said. It arouses me, and I'm 90 years old, and you're 18 years old, and you're not aroused by a woman that's not dressed properly. You need a doctor. Very, very famous story. Look at our kefir, he says he makes these really, very good jokes about the, he makes litzanis of open orthodoxy where they allow and they promote women to lead Kabbalah Shabbos. What's so bad about Kabbalah Shabbos? Kabbalah Shabbos is not, it's not a chiluk of davening. You daven from the bima. So what's so terrible if you have a woman daven Kabbalah Shabbos? So he says, so he jokes, I don't remember his exact words, and it's very funny how he says it's monafshach. If you're not interested in the woman if you're not interested in listening and watching the woman shuckling away, you're not a man. And if you are a healthy man, then it's not a davening. Man of shach. If you have a woman davening Kabbalah Shabbos on stage, either you're not a normal man or it's not a normal davening. So there's something wrong with you. Okay. On the other hand, I once overheard, you should know, on the other hand, just to all these crazy things, I once overheard a conversation with two people talking about this, he has a real problem, Shmir Sinayim, and he's very depressed, and he has this. So the guy said to him, you should be very happy you have this problem. It means you're a healthy person. Because Rahman al-Litzlan, there are a lot of sick people out there that don't have this problem, or have this problem in other ways. So the fact that you're struggling with this thing, you should know it's a cause for celebration to some degree. That Baruch Hashem, you're healthy. Baruch Hashem. It is a very interesting twist on, be happy with what you have. Be happy with the nisyonos you have in life. What? Obviously not. But sometimes the nisyonos you have in life is also something. It's also something to be happy for, because unfortunately people have it even worse. Okay, so let's continue now off this very bizarre topic. Let's go back to the we finished with the mitzudos. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi pasik yud vatihi shem lanoshim. What does it mean shem lanoshim? Lukach mimenu kilolo lachol hanoyafal. So when I say over shem, when I translate, I just, this is going to be a warning. You're going to have a reputation. People are going, wow, look what happened to this one. This woman was exposed. She was exposed. She was disgraced. And I don't want to be like her. She has a reputation.
Notoriety.
Great word. Notoriety. So here, that's not what it says over here. That's not what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi says, klala. Shame means a curse. It's a metaphor for a curse. Lukach mimeno klala l'chol ha'noi afois lihivaser mimena. It will be taken from her a curse for all other women that follow in her way to commit adultery, to be rebuked, to be forewarned. Ru'u me also leploinis. Look what happened to this woman, Alazimasa, due to her act of infidelity. Ushefutim kimo shefatim. Now let me explain. You have a French word. What that means, Rav Michal? What does that mean?
Punishment. Okay. Here's a very nice medrash. This one
posted in Parshas Yisro. Yisro comes to Moshe and it says, "Lo tov ha'davar asher ata oseh, novel tibol." You're going to wither away. You're not going to survive. What should we do? We have to have a hierarchy of judges.
So it's very, there's a difference. Baal Kriya has to be very careful in how he reads these two words.
Yeah. Justice.
Justice. Okay. So there are two words here. There are two very interesting words. So first he says to him, what does he suggest to do? Anything which is gadol, okay, the first time it says this word with regard to all of the people that are going to be your subordinates, yish pitu. There's a shva in the pay, under the pay, pitu. Then when Moshe listens, vayishva Moshe l'kol chayis, vayaskla shayit omar, vayivcha Moshe anam shechayil m'kol yishol, okay, v'shavtu es ha'am b'chol eis, es hadavar ha'koshe, yovino l'moshe, v'es hadavar ha'koton yish putu. Okay, Baal Kriya, they get them on this. You got to be careful. It's not yish pi, it's pu, putu. It is a shurak. Okay, it is a shurak. There is a vav there. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the word yish pitu and the word yish putu? Everyone tries to find an interpretation to understand the difference. So the Medrash says, well, why don't we go look at Yechezkel Perek Chaf Gimel? Because in Yechezkel Perek Gimel, it says over here, ushefutim asu va. So here we have the word mishpat, and the word spelled with a shuk, with a vav, like the second time. And here, it clearly from the context, it means physical harm. They're going to take the woman and expose her. They're going to take the children, they're going to take the children down to as captives. They're going to take the nation, they're going to kill them with a sword. Ushefutum osuva. So it's from the context of this pasuk, it means action. Action. What does it say? Of judgment. Yeah. It's not necessarily avudu begavo, osu. Paranis means punishment. It means punishment. But it's more like, but it says osu. The word, the key word is osu, it's said in connection with the word osu. They're going to do. And therefore, the Mefarshim, the Medrash says that from this we learn is that when it says the word with a shurak, with like this, then it means action. But when it says it with a shva, it means dibur. Just paskin the halacha, osur mutter chayiv potter. In other words, there's a fundamental difference between what Moshe Rabbeinu did and what he was advised to do. Yisro said, "Let your subordinates just paskin the halacha. Let them paskin osur mutter chayiv potter. Tomei tar."
The same expression is this.
Eseh shifatim. Okay, and that's the same word, but in this form. You're right. Throughout Tanakh, this is a very popular word. I'm just telling you what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says in this pasuk we learn to use this pasuk only as the only example to explain the difference between the two words. Yisrael said to Moshe, you're going to decide all of the major matters, and all of the minor matters, you're going to let your judges just make decisions, but not implement those decisions. They'll tell the people, it's Tomei. They'll tell them it's Tar. They'll tell them Chayiv Potter. Asur Mutter. That's it. And let the people leave the courtroom and let them go and trust them to follow out, carry out the implications of the Psak Halacha. Or maybe you'll have a policeman, you'll have some other department in the government. Moshe said, no, it's a good idea, but this idea is only going to work if I give the people the actual authority. I give the people the actual authority to implement, to carry out the decisions. So Moshe, v'chol adavar ha-koton yish putuhem, the minor judges didn't just say, you're guilty. They got on their computer and took the money out of the guy's bank account and deposited the money in the victim's bank account. If the pasukim that the food is treif, they took the food and they threw it in the garbage. So Moshe Rabbeinu even went further. He told Yisro, there's a lot of psychology behind this, is that if you're going to give someone authority, you're going to give someone, make someone a subordinate, Moshe is the chief justice. Then you're going to have other judges. So the other judges obviously are not as choshev.
Without it. So maybe the people have no respect for him. The way the people are going to have respect for listening to a minor judge is when they see that the minor judge has the power to implement their decisions. It's not just advice. That's a very big problem. That you go say to Psak Halacha, Ruba de Ruba, just advice. Is this Osir or Mutar?
Like the circuit courts now with Obama, with Trump.
Well, that's always that. But the appeals take years, right? We live in a country where you could basically you go to the local court on your street corner, and then if you're really lucky, you can work your way up through many layers to get to the Supreme Court, right? You can go on forever and ever, and that can take 20 years to get there. You're in a Hanami. So if you don't have the bottom line, then you're not going to have respect. This drasha is derived, at least according to the measure of Muhammad. A good point, you have the word all over Tanakh, but at least from this drasha, we have the word ushefutun, ushefutim, asuba, the same form with the shurak, asuba, that means to implement a decision. Pshat, mamash, pshuta shel mikra, in Chumash, is being derived from what it says here in this very pasuk. Okay, let's now go to what it says in the Radak. One second. Okay, Radak Pasik Yud is Hema Tehil Higdil. Now here he points out the history. There were three waves of exile. Sancheriv exiled the Jewish people to the waves with Tehil Higlu as Bnei God as Bnei Ruvain. First, Bnei God Bnei Ruvain, they were the first ones going to exile in the Eiver Hayarden. The Achakach Higlu Shor Hashvatim Shahu Malchus Ephraim and then everyone else. He doesn't break it up, but the truth was that even the second wave was first those who lived along the Mediterranean, along the coast. They were the second to go, and then from the heartland, they were the third to go. Lo kachu haketanim she'enem b'nei milchama, the children that are not b'nei milchama, shavu esam, they were taken as captives. Hargu habachudim v'ansha milchama v'melech v'asav v'gedolim. And the end of the pasuk says v'osach v'chedev, but the adolescents and the warriors and the adults were killed. V'atihi shem l'nashim, ha'isa shem ra l'shar nashim ha'oigvay. So here he's translating as a bad reputation. It doesn't say the word klala like Rashi. Rashi was so explicit. Just you're a bad reputation for other women who would consider doing these things. Nashim ha'oigvos, other women who are lovers, ki es asher ogva ahala heikal oisa, this, that, ogva ahala, ahala is shaymoin, heikal oisa, Hashem made light of her, Hashem disgraced her, ubiza oisa, vaharaga, and killed her, uva mashal anashim l'shar medinos kitarguma, and this will be as a mashal for all women of all other medinos, all other nations. They should also not worship idols. Everyone has an obligation in this world to be recognized that Hashem is the creator. Va hava shum lim dinosa, it will be a reputation for all of the medinos, all of the nations. Ushefutim osuba mishpatei nekamos, that Nebuchadnezzar will execute revenge for the rebellion, asuba, shifutim, shame, shifut, beshurak, beshekel, zavul. Okay, I don't know this grammar, but he's saying there is a uba becholam cheref shifut, the devil, like we mentioned, that sometimes it's with a cholam, shifut, and here it's with a shurak, shifut. And in Chumash, it's we're dealing with a shiva, because in the context, the way it's presented there, it's yish pitu heim, in the plural. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Yud Aleph. So now we come to the second part. After the galus of the Aseres HaShvatim, Yerushalayim, which had within it the two Shvatim, Hud and the Yamin, they went and they were jealous. They also wanted to worship idols, so they followed in evil ways. And they were even worse. This is a theme which we find a few places, is that the sins of Yerushalayim were greater than the sins of the Aseres HaShvatim. Her corrupt desire to lust after idols was worse than Ahala. The S Taznuseha and her Taznuseha Miznune Achesa, then the Zinus, licentiousness of her sister. Let's see the Mitzudo Stavu Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vatere Rasa es kol hara haba al achesa ahala. She saw all the raw which came upon her sister. V'loy lakha musa.
And the Natek Mosav, Yeshritza Bidvar Avon, the Chishka Yosef Mena, and she'd sin even more. The Estavar has no Shritza Yosef Miznune Achoisa, her acts of Znus were greater. Rashi Pasig Yud Alav and Hirachoisa Ahaliva, Eskol Harasha Bos Lachoisa Al Zinuneha, Velo Yara. She did not learn Musr from what has happened. Batashches Agvasa Tavasa. And her taiva was even greater, was even more destructive. The taiva, it's an interesting psychological idea being presented here, is that the hashchasa, the way the Pasuk describes the word hashchasa, it's not referring to the result, it's referring to the addiction. But tashres agvasa, the word tashres means destructive. What's destructive? The lust. You would think, a person who doesn't understand how these things work, thinks that what's a person is addicted. So what's the hashchasa? What you do? The addiction is the person he takes drugs, or he does the acts of actual arayos avera with noshim that he should not be involved with, or alcohol. The actual consumption of the alcohol is what's destructive. No, that's not what it says here. The actual taiva, the actual addiction itself. Person drinks the alcohol, so he's intoxicated. So hopefully he didn't drink enough, he'll kill himself. That he can heal from. That he just body will naturally heal. But the hashchasa is the actual act of addiction. That is what is hashchasa. I once spoke to a Rebbe in Yishuv. I told this to you before. So he told me, what's the problem with the kids on the internet? I know the kids with all these electronic toys, games, and smartphones. He says, they were baim, they're not worried about what they see. I mean, I don't know what he means by that. I mean, that's a halacha. So let's say they see things they should not be seeing. He says, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. They saw images, things they should not be seeing. The problem is the addiction. Once they get used to it, the enjoyment of seeing these things, the temporary enjoyment, so when they were in class, they can't wait until class is over to do it again, to do it again, to do it again. It's not so much actually the content. They see violence, they see noshim that they should not be seeing. That's not the primary concern for the mechanchen. The primary concern for the mechanchen is the addiction that this activity leads to. They're going on the internet, it creates addiction. And then the rabbi has no control over them. Then they can't get them to concentrate. If there was no addiction, and in their minds, they have all of these images and all of these things floating around. It's a problem. But that's a problem we can work with. We can overcome. We'll just, our lessons will be stronger than the lessons they're going to get from seeing things they should not be seeing. But you cannot battle addiction. That Rebbeim have no control over. And that is why, that's to explain to me why they're very tough on what goes on. And you see that mamash in these words here in this Rashi, v'tashches agvasa, the hashna atavasa is what is destructive. Okay, next words in we did the Rashi. Let's see what it says in the Radak. Radak pasuk yud beis v'tere achesa eholiva agvasa. I'm sorry. Yud pasuk yafin the Radak v'tere achesa eholiva agvasa shame. Agva bepeles alva. Okay, it's a grammatical radak telling you what the grammatical form of the word agva saw. Ahava amar afi sharasa ahaliva korban vegalus ahala. Even though ahaliva witnessed the destruction of her sister of the aseres hashvatim bechatoy seha loy nimne or ba'avur zem levtoch b'malchi umos olam, did not withhold her from having confidence, putting their confidence in the nations of the world. The little boy mimasim ve'ella shes shchisa agvasa mimena, even adarab, it's even worse. The averis that they did were even greater than the averis of Yishlam k'mosham ayim yot tzidka tzolka nafshal mishuva Yisrael mibogedo Yehuda. It's a very important radak. Radak is telling us that we learned this already. It's very interesting is that the terminology, we find that Yirmiyah, every Navi saw one vision. It's all a matter of how they interpreted. Yirmiyah saw exactly the same vision. And the way he described Shomroin was Meshuva Yisrael. And Yerushalayim was called Bogedo Yehuda. In our
parallel perek in Yecheskel, it's Ahola versus Aholiva. So each one has their terminology, their language, in describing the difference between these two different groups. And there it says the same exact thing, is that relative to the sins of Yehuda and Binyamin, Yisrael were tzaddikim, tzidko nafsha meshuva Yisrael, relative to the sins of Mibogedo Yehuda. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk Yud Beis, El Bnei Ashur Ogva. Now again, he describes the same thing, that to the Bnei Ashur, to the Bnei Ashur, Ogava, they had a lust. To whom? The pachois, the governors, usiganim, the leaders, kuraivim. This means they were so beloved to them in the eyes of the Jewish people, these governors and these leaders, it was as if they were relatives. Levushe michlal, they wore clothing that was included everything. Every type of beauty, every type of material, every type of ornament you can possibly have was included in their garments. Parashim, they were horsemen. Roichvei susim, they rode on horses. Bachuri chemed kulam, every single one of them was a chosen young man. Now, we had the pasuk on Friday, the same exact pasuk, the same exact, all very similar, not exactly the same, but very similar, describing the Yoifi, what misled the people of Eretz Yisrael, of Yehuda. Here we're describing Yehuda, when they saw the people of Ashur, and they saw how they had a great life, and they dressed well, and they had great cars, and great planes, and a great military, they were jealous, and they wanted to follow in their ways. Pasuk is based on the Mitzudos David, El Bnei Ashur, Choshka El Bnei Ashur, Al Ki Hoyu Pachois Usiganim, Uki Ilu, did why? Because they saw that every single person there was a governor or was a leader. Uki Ilu Hoyu Kroivim Elech, as if they were Kroivim. Now, also you can say what this means is, you know, this is a very big problem, is that they all, you can say they had professions. It's very big nisayon for Bnei Torah. The Bnei Torah, you know, you taught to learn, and everyone is the same. People go out and get, you know, people who are matzliach. There's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a professor, he's a politician. When you have a role in life, when you have a job, you have a role in life, there's a certain kavod that comes. You know, it's kavod. When you have nothing, you're just another guy. It's a very, very big nisayon. Here, to some degree, what it's saying over here is that Klal Yisrael, when they saw the gun, they saw that they had people there had, they were pachos, they were sagonim, they had positions. Now, these positions, we have to understand, came with a price. I'm not talking about, it came with the price of corrupt, being corrupt, avodah zarah, gilui arayos. But the fact is, they had something that people in Yehuda did not have. And that obviously made them jealous. Levushei michlal. They were wearing clothing of michlal, where the word michlal comes from the word coil, which means everything. They had every type of yoifi was upon their clothing. And they had beautiful, beautiful cars, horsemen. Each one was a beautiful person. Chachem means chosen. They were young, they were healthy, they were vibrant. These were things that the Jewish people felt they were lacking, and therefore they were jealous. They were jealous, and that's why they wanted to imitate their ways and worship idols, and they figured by doing so they would have the same success. And they were sorely mistaken. Pasuk, okay, Rashi, Pasuk, it says, El Bnei Ashur Agava, Ze'ochas, here he's coming, put this in context. What are we referring to? Which part of Jewish history? Ze'ochas, Sheshalach El Melech Ashur Le'ezra, Ochas, the Melech of Yehuda, and he did not have confidence in Hashem, and he sent gifts to the king of Ashur that Ashur should be at his assistance to protect him from other nations. Pasuk Radak Pasuk Yibes El Bnei Ashur Agava Kavar Perashnu Ha'in L'Mala Masha Asa Ochas Levushei Michlol. The word Michlol comes from the word Kol Bechol Mine Levushim Noim V'Hu Kolel Ma Shepara Perash L'Mala Techeles, the blue clothing, the O Devarim Rabim Achelim Kamo Argomon. Purple, the shani is red, the char mil. When did you ever have that word in Tanakh? Okay, you always have them, but in Beis HaMikdash, four colors. White, blue, purple, and red. Those are the four colors of the clothing of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing more than that, four colors. Here it says, the char mil. We have here the tcheles, he mentions. The argomon is the purple, the shani is the red. I assume there's going to be white. But what is charmel? Anyone know what that is? It?
Karpas,
what is?
Like karpas.
No.
A mixture?
Karpas, no.
Karpas, maybe.
Karpas, a mixture of colors?
He says,
yeah.
Crimson and scarlet.
What color is scarlet?
Red.
Red. Red. Red. That's shunny. That's shunny. That's scarlet. Different shades of red. And what's crimson? The crimson, and what do you say?
Different shade of red.
Different shade of red. Okay, interesting. Okay, so this is the colors that they mentioned. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Eraki Nitma. Hashem says, I witnessed, I saw what you have done. I saw that Yehuda followed in the ways of Yisrael. They become contaminated. Derech Echad L'Shtei. And I see that there's really no difference. The sins that Yehuda are guilty of are identical to the sins that Yisrael were guilty of. Let's do one more pasuk. This pasuk was mamish written for our generation. This pasuk, it's not possible they really appreciate what this means. I'm not saying drush. Is that this pasuk was written by Yecheskel, because it's very bizarre to understand what it means, pshuta shel mikra. But today, I mean, it's dvarim pshutim ad moed what it means. Vatoysef al taz nusach. It wasn't enough just to actually be guilty of doing adelos. Al ta'vetere anshe. What they did was they looked at images etched on the wall. Vatera anshe michukeh. They looked at people that were etched alakir. Salme the images of kastim of the kastim. Chakukim that were etched ba shoshar. Shoshar either means a color. Doesn't tell us what color it is. A certain type of color of ink. Or it means it's a word which means every type of color you can possibly have. And today today when they advertise a cell phone, they tell you how many, I'm not exaggerating, tens of millions of colors your cell phone is capable of showing you. Your screen. When you go buy a new screen, that's one of the features. How many pixels, the PPI, how many pixels per inch are there? And how big is the resolution? How big is the screen? And the next most important thing is how many colors can it show? Like it makes a difference, right? After 8, 16 colors, 32 colors. I don't know why a person needs more than 32 colors and how much already they need to see on the screen. But today, those screens, the advertise, this screen has only 10 million colors. But if you buy our cell phone, it can show you 30 million colors. As if your eye can tell the difference between the 10 million colors and the 30 million colors. What? Creole, cut down. Crayola cut down on the colors. They just cancel another color. Every couple of years they keep on cutting out one of their colors. There's a whole revolution in America. You know, the whole people up in arms. It can turn to World War III. How can Crayola take away one of the crayons from the children? Just wait. You know, they have to just get a little bit older. They don't have any problems. Now they only have 8 colors, 16 colors. When they get a little bit older, they'll get their cell phone. They'll have 30 million colors. Okay, but what does this mean? So if you would ask me, it means, he's telling the people, it's not enough that you actually go and do Avodah Zarah, you go online and you see things that you should not see. You click away. Isn't that what it means? It's not enough that you had an illicit relationship with this woman that you should not be talking to altogether because she's an Ashes Ish. But in addition, after you did the Aveir with this woman, you go to your computer, and you look at Anshe Mechuke, you look at people, human beings, that have been presented on the wall. The wall is a code word for the screen. What is the screen anyway today, right? It's Al Mechuke Al Akir. Salme, the images of the kastim of all the goyim, the kastim were the kastim, chakukim, that are etched on this kir, ba shoshar, in every possible color, in every possible way, in every possible dimension. There's no limit to what a person can see, the amount of averus a person can do in 5 minutes. They say that a person can do today in 5 minutes online more than what a person, that the people in Europe could have done their whole life many times over. You can see online today more things. Isn't it amazing? And who's not going to admit it's true? If you're living in Europe, you're living in a shtetl in Europe, what already could you see already? What are you going to see already? The worst of the worst. A person was nichshol in gilui arayis. So he did an aveir. What already did he see? How much did he contaminate his eyes? What's the most he could have done? Today, you can see it's unbelievable what the sakana is today, where we can go on. And isn't that exactly what it says in this pasuk? I'm making this up. Isn't that exactly what it says in this pasuk? This pasuk was written by Yecheskel for this generation. There's no doubt about it. That's all the words of Navi are preserved for this generation. It's the Anshei Mechukei Alakir Tzalmi Kastim Chakukim Bashosha. They should have this, use this pasuk to promote, you know, what's it called? Teg. Teg is a very good organization. They're very good. Teg. They have all the technology. They can put on all these filters and kasher your cell phone. So this is Chakukim Bashoshar. Okay, let's see what it says Nisusukim in the Mefarshim. First, let's see the Mitzudos Stavit. Mitzudos Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel says Va'ere Reisi Kemosh Reisi. What does I say? I see Kemosh Shechosh Kolochem Kein Zinsa B'Pel V'Nitma. That B'nei Yehuda they carried out. They implemented their plan to contaminate themselves. The Derech Echad L'Shtehen, and Yehuda was no different than her sister Yisrael. Kemo she'asesa ahala, kein asesa ahaliva. Ritzenu lemar gamki chashka lifsile Ashur. She also had a desire for the idols of Ashur. Ba'avur marbis hatzlachasam, because they saw success. If someone is successful, you want to imitate them. That's a very big problem. Kamosha Khashka Kain Avdulhem. It's what they desired, they went to worship. Pasuk Yodalid, Vatoisef Oid Hoisifa Altaz Nu Seha. She continued, Altaz Nu Seha. Lachashaik Lemish Shaloi Roasa Beineha. She continued to do Znus. Lachashaik Lemish Shaloi Roasa Beineha. Virak Kisharoasa Anoshim Chakukim. One more time. In addition to the acts of Arayos, lachashok, to desire lemi sheloi ro'asa beineha, something they did not see in reality, but rather in virtual reality. They saw men, human beings, chakukim, etched alakir, on the wall. Salme Anshei Kastim, the images of the people of the Kastim, Mitsuyorim, that have been pictured, that have been depicted, Bitseva HaShoshar, with ink of Shoshar, which the Mitsuda says it means the Musv, which means a type of ink. Now, I don't understand. If you tell me this is to be taken purely literally, it's just really hard to understand. What did they do? They did have Avodah Zarah. They went to a museum. And they had murals.
Like putting up posters of your favorite movie star or something up on the wall.
Okay, so you look at it once.
No, they would fantasize.
Yeah. But it has a lot more meaning today. Because just look at one picture on a wall, right, drawn by some artist who is probably nothing compared to what a person is capable of seeing today online. Pasik Rashi Pasik Yudalid in Rashi. Vatoysef El Taz Nusecha Lehis Avois, to have a desire, Litzlamim Shaloi Ro'aso Isam El Demusam. They did not actually see them, but only saw their image. Virtual reality. Who says Rashi didn't know about virtual reality? Chazal Liber Rosha. Mechuke Alakir, etched on the wall, Bashoshar Kizos Lo Osa Achisa. This they didn't do. The Bnei Yehuda did not go so far to do this, to go and have murals of Noshim or people like this. Salme, the image of the Avodah Zarah, Salme Kastim, Demus Anshei Kastim, Shem Mishunim Bilavushehem, the image of the Kastim, which were unique in their clothing, Bashoshar, Minei Tziur. So he doesn't say like Ragbitsudos, that it means a type of ink, but rather it means different types of images. Let us see what it says in the Radak Pasuk Yudalid. V'toysef el taz nusecha kmo al v'od hosifa al hagilulev sh'avda v'tere anshek mechukem kolaymar ro'asa lachakois, they look to yearn lachakois, to etch ulitzayer anoshim alakir v'heim tzalmik hastim v'meroiv sh'choshka bohem ulvushayem v'masem, because they had such a desire to imitate them, their clothing and their deeds, siru lo isam alakir l'roisam tamit, they made pictures of them. They wanted to join them in their worship and in serving their gods, because all of their laws and all of their deeds were upright in their eyes, because they also wanted success. They mingled with the nations, they learned from their evil deeds.
The
whole Gilulei Beis Yisrael Mechukeh was etched alakir saviv saviv kamoshe pirash nusham. Like we mentioned there, you come to the Beis Hamidrash, you come to the Beis Yecheskel, they came to the Beis Hamidrash, Hashem Shal Yirmiyah, Hashem Shal Yecheskel, that in the Beis Hamidrash, on the wall of the Beis Hamidrash itself, there were murals of these idols or the tazdim, the people whom the Jewish people wanted to emulate. Kako kimba shoshar. What shashar demusam, their image. Also, we learned in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel that Hashem brought Yecheskel in the Mare from Bavel, from Tel Aviv, all the way to the Beis Hamidrash. He told him, go look inside the hole. And you'll see on the hole, it's Mechuke Alakir. It's etched on the wall of the Azara. You're going to see these disgusting images of Avodah Zarah. No, it says here in this exactly, the only one who did this was the Bnei Yehuda. The Bnei Yisrael did not do this. The Bnei Yisrael, they only worshipped, did it for real. They didn't live in a virtual reality. They did Averus for real. The Bnei Yehuda, in addition to doing the Averus for real, they also lived in this virtual reality where they had images etched on the walls of their homes and other public places. And then we learned in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, it was at Kedei Kach, it was even etched on the walls of the Beis HaMikdash.
It was worse.
Worse, yeah. The Bnei Yehuda, yeah, that's a given. We learned that many times, that what Bnei Yehuda did was worse than what the Bnei Yisrael did. They only did it for a shorter amount of time. We learned in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, he had to sleep on his side for 390 years, Kineged the Bnei Yisrael, and the Malchei Yisrael, and 40 days, Kineged the 40 years of the Malchei Yehuda. So it's 40 versus 390. It was a shorter period of time. That's in quantity. But in quality, the sins, in Echos, the sins of Bnei Yehuda were far worse. What's interesting is that Bnei, the Aseres HaShvatim, were gone. They were exiled, never to return, according to many, to some opinions. Or even if they're going to return, it's not going to be the full degree. And whereas the Bnei Yehuda, who were even worse, they were zoicha to return.
Because they had less time.
Is that what you want to say? The less time, it's better, to do more echos in less time than to do... Oh, it's a tough question.
20%.
It's a tough question. Why is it, if the Pasuk says over and over that their sins were even worse than the sins of the Malchei Yisrael, why was it that they were zoicha to return, whereas the Malchei Yisrael were not zoicha to return? Not at least. That means it's yechidim. It means individuals. That's the famous kash. Even according to the Maldema that says that they're not going to return, they are still mingled among the Bnei Yehud and Bnei Binyamin. Individuals, yechidim.
So, you know, historically, the Bnei Yisrael went first. So once they went, whoever was left was going to stay because you couldn't destroy everybody.
But if there's going to be a geula, there should be an even distribution in the geula. Okay, in the Hanami.
Once they were assimilated.
All right, it's a tough question. Hashem's ways are mysterious.
Once you're intermarried, forget about it.
You're gone. There are no more children.
There's no gulas. What the gulas going to pick out certain individuals?
No. You're right.
You're finished.
But Hashem gave the Bnei Yehuda siyata d'shmaya lo yosu shevim Yehuda. There should be remnants. We're here today. So why couldn't Hashem give the Bnei, the Malchei Yisrael siyata d'shmaya? There should be a significant, equal representation of the time of Mashiach. Why? It says in the Pesukim that their sins were not on par, were not as bad as the sins of the Bnei Yehuda. You'll say they did it first, they started it. I don't know, we don't know these things. Hashem's ways are mysterious. Ki loy machshavoysai, machshavoyseichem. Okay, let's finish up here. Let's finish up the Radak. Radak Kastiim. What are the kastiyim? Kosov b'shnei yudin. The word kastiyim, these are very funny words. Sometimes it has one yud, two yuds. The kushiyim, remember the haftar from 2 weeks ago? The kushiyim, mitriyim. So there are sometimes, there are two, there is one. Good morning. The kastiyim, kosov b'shnei yudin, kemo Elohei ha'ivriyim. Okay, that's Hashem's name. I shouldn't have said that. Hashem's name. Ukrik chasdim ubiyud echad al harayf. Chakukim ba shoshar dumus chokuk alakir ba samonim shemitzayrin bohem. The images, the shoshar hushem klal hasamonin hohen. I told you this before. The word shoshar is a catch-all phrase to describe all the different types of colors. All dyes. Like today, I told you on the cell phone today, go look at your specs. 30 million colors.
$30 million. Go check your specs. I'm not joking. V'hu shehem klal hasamonim ohem v'chein tirgum yonison mitzayrin basamonim. I tell you what it means. It means lacquer. In modern Hebrew, I looked it up. Google Translate, thanks to cell phone. It means, shasha means, it means lacquer. Varnish. Lacquer. Varnish. Lacquer, varnish. That's how it's used. What? Modern Hebrew. So I said, modern Hebrew, it's derived from this, obviously, to give it a shine, to give it a, to bring out its brilliance. Hasamonim ohim b'chein tirgum yonison mitzayrin besamonim oy mefarshim sheshar shem echad min hasamonim shekorin minei belas. It's
no, it's I'm so.
What?
Vermilion. What is
that? Yes. Okay, there's a certain type of color. It's a specific type of color. All right, we're going to stop here. Pasuk Tezvav.
Did you mention Blatt Deutsch?
Deutsch?
What did you say?
Shoshar. Shoshar. It's a Hebrew word which means color. Color. A specific type of color.